What's up, everyone? This is Logan, CigarFederation.com, here with you live, Pipe Dummies. I'm not sure what episode we're on. I want to say it's 14. That sounds about right. Yeah, episode 14. So we're live here in Cigar Federation headquarters studios, and I got my main man with me, the one and only Bull Shark. What's happening?
Not much, brother. Just glad to be back and joining some piping.
I know, man. I feel like last couple weeks I've been traveling. It's been, I will say something, is that it is very hard to travel for work and bring pipe stuff.
Yeah, I've noticed that myself.
It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, like it takes up, I mean, packing cigars, a small little humidor, but here you got to bring your tamp, a couple of different pipes, all your tobacco. It's just so much more of a pain in the ass. But I haven't been smoking a pipe a lot lately. But I have, we'll talk about this later, made a couple of estate sale acquisitions of some really cool old pipes. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. So tonight is kind of an open episode. We're not really focusing on a specific tobacco, but we're just kind of focusing on Cornell and Deal kind of overall. Bull Shark, tell us what you're smoking there, buddy.
The one that I picked for tonight is Bourbon Blue. And it's kind of interesting that I picked Bourbon Blue because it's, according to tobaccoreviews.com, the description is, it says, perhaps the most well-known street in the French Quarter, the old district in New Orleans, the Cellar Series blend takes its name from the colorful Bourbon Street, whose distinct blue shutters have lined the rue for years. In an equally memorable blend, bright and red Virginias are mixed with the right amount of dark-fired Kentucky and long-cut Perique, then married together with the bourbon before being pressed and formed an old-fashioned crumble cake.
So it's kind of an aromatic or not?
No, it's not. It didn't have enough of a topping to necessarily be an aromatic. It's just like a slight little hint of bourbon. Like, I could smell it, you know, on the tobacco, but I don't taste it as much on the blend itself.
Really? Okay. Yeah, it's always weird. Like, what always confuses me is that, like, there's a lot of stuff. Like, for example, like, I didn't realize Throgmorton, on the Bayou, that's actually got some, I mean, I wouldn't call it a topping, but it's got a flavoring added to it. And I had no idea. People all the time are like, well, you like flavored stuff? And I was like, no, not really, but I love that. And it's weird because some of the stuff right out, you can tell that it's flavored. And some of the stuff, like, unless somebody told you, you'd have no freaking clue.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff is, and I've kind of, you know, I have a dedicated pipes that are just for aromatics. Mm-hmm. So like when I'm looking at buying, tobaccos or whatnot, I usually don't buy any aromatics. And it's not because I dislike aromatics. It's just that, you know, with me, it's kind of hit or miss on how well they'll smoke because, you know, they're easy to get the gurgle and whatnot, and sometimes they can burn a little bit too hot. But, you know, like one of the first tobaccos I ever had was C&D's Autumn Evening.
I think everyone smokes that. I think everyone, well, other than me, like as for an aromatic, I feel like that one is like extremely popular.
It is.
But like everyone likes it. So for
yeah, but when I see these, like this one has the little bourbon topping on it, or a lot of the Navy flakes, the Navy blends right, or whatever, have the rum on them. But they're not really considered aromatics because there's not a true topping on it. It's just like a light misting or something. I don't know. But I kind of stayed away from a lot of Navy flakes because I was so scared it would, you know, ghost my pipes. So, but, you know, after, you know, like this blend and the GLP's Virginia Cream, none of those consider aromatics. Honestly, the Navy flakes aren't considered aromatics, so I'm a little bit more open to smoking them now. So, and none of them have been an issue smoking the regular pipes, as long as they're not listed as aromatics and stuff. Even like the Ready Rub that from Dunhill, I suppose they have like a fruit topping on it, but it's not really, it's not considered aromatic either. But I can taste that? It. Yes.
What do you think? I haven't smoked it yet.
Actually, I liked it.
Really? Yeah. That's the one in the green tin, right?
Yep.
And it's a Ready Rub, so it's more of a cake, or was it a flake that's just rubbed out?
Flake that's rubbed out.
Flake that's already rubbed out. So I am smoking While Bull Shark's smoking the Bourbon Blue, I'm smoking the Cornell and Deal Star of the East, which is an English blend. Has Latika, some Oriental slash Turkish and Virginias. It's ribbon cut, has no flavorings added. And yeah, so I mean, I think it was released. I think it's been around a while. I don't think it's anything new. I think the Bourbon Blue actually just came out. I think it was actually right before IPCPR, if I remember correctly. I think it was kind of their new release for the trade show. But getting into it here, finally getting the bowl going. But interestingly enough is that, you know, I got a bad habit, Bull Shark.
What's that?
I'm a fucking collector.
Yeah, me too.
So, like, when I get into something, like golf. I was into golf in college. You know, I've got, you know, the Titleist driver. I got a Callaway driver. I've got a set of Titleist irons. You know, all this kind of shit, right? And right. I don't really golf anymore because I'm just too lazy and fat. But regardless, when I get into something, so you and I were talking. You got me motivated a while back. You're like, you got to get yourself a Dunhill pipe.
Yeah.
So what did Logan do? Logan went out and bought himself, believe it or not, this was the first time I've ever used eBay in my life.
Really?
Yeah, swear to God. I have never purchased or sold anything on eBay. I didn't even have an account.
Oh, my God.
On eBay in my fucking life. And I busted my eBay cherry and bought myself a, what is it? I have to read the markings. But a fan tip Shell Briar from 1969. Really cool little pipe in great condition. Cool thing about this, as you can just kind of tell, is that this has got this the size 2 bowl compared to this one that's got the size 4 bowl. Right. I really like it because I can get kind of overwhelmed, you know, with too much in a bowl. I'll get lightheaded and shit. But, like, I really like this pipe. It's just a slick-looking pipe. And this one, unfortunately, the markings on it are a little worn. But it's an Apple Shell Briar from 1968. But I kind of went on a tear, Bull Shark, and got myself a couple of Dunhill pipes.
I just see that as a victory.
You know, I was expecting – maybe you can answer this question because I don't fucking know. I'm confused because, like, I go and I look at, you know, smoking pipes or pipes and cigars. Well, actually, pipes and cigars, I don't even know if they carry Dunhill pipes, but I know smoking pipes does. Uh-huh. But when I went and looked, I mean, their pipes – you know, from 2012 or 2015 or whenever, are all like 500-600 and up, right?
Yeah.
But some of these, like, you would think, like, an estate, even though it had been smoked, that was in, it looks like it's in fucking phenomenal condition. The markings are pristine. And it's, like, almost 50 years old, would be worth just that much, but it's not. Like, I would think I picked this thing up for, like, maybe 80 bucks, 90 bucks.
Really?
Like, nothing crazy. Yeah, dude. I was expecting to pay, like, 300 a pipe.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, anywhere from about a mediocre one would be about 150 to 300 bucks for a state one, usually. And depending on which kind it is, it could be even more expensive than it was when it was fresh. They're just that collectible.
I'm wondering, I mean, because this one has the markings worn, so I mean, like, it was pretty cheap. Like, it was maybe like 80 bucks. This was like maybe 100 or something. But yeah. Like, I was just very surprised that I was able to get it so cheap. And, I mean, do people knock off Dunhill pipes?
Well,
I'm just wondering because I would have no freaking clue.
I don't really know, but I know a lot of times you might see a Dunhill that where its stem doesn't match the bowl. Like it's an aftermarket stem or replacement, or it's a stem from the wrong Dunhill,
right,
or something like that. But, I mean, first off, if you look, you got the white dot on it, you're pretty safe. But even though if it has a white dot, it could still be the wrong stem. If it would be a stem from another Dunhill.
Right. It could be a Sassini stem, too. Some of them had white dots as well. But, yeah, so I didn't know. It's like one of those things where, you know, people knock off Oakleys all the time because people buy Oakleys every day. And anyone can wear Oakleys. Not everyone's going to buy a Dunhill pipe, you know.
Right. So
I didn't know if there's even a market for that. But I don't know. Random question. Do you say Cornell and Deal, or do you say Cornell and Dial?
Cornell and Deal.
Yeah, that's what I say, too. There's a girl in my high school named Cassie Deal, spelled the same way. I've heard a lot of people say Dial.
Tomato, tomato. I don't know.
That's it. Latakia versus Latika. Same fucking thing.
I call it Latakia because that's how the town's pronounced in Turkey. Or Syria, I mean.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Do they pronounce it differently over there? I've heard it. I've said Latakia, but I've heard Latika is the correct way.
I don't know, but like right now, you'll hear it all over the news because, you know, all the stuff going on in Syria. You know, we had the Russians moving in saying, you know, basically if the U.S. and NATO won't go bomb the shit out of and destroy ISIS, they'll come in and do it. So they've revamped the base in Latakia, and now they're launching all their attacks on ISIS from Latakia right now.
The U.S. is doing this?
No, Russia. Mm. Nobody fucks with Putin, dude. You know that.
Yeah.
So they're tearing their ass in half right now. But they when they say it, when anybody in the news says it, like some of the generals, you know, like the consultants on CNN or Fox News or whatever, talk about that region, they say Latakia. So that's what I said, Latakia. Because I've heard Latakia and Latakia. That's one I'm
asking. Latakia.
Yeah.
That's, yeah, Latika. That sounds almost more like, I don't know, like Indian almost, like. I don't know. So, you know, with, I mean, what blends have you smoked Bull Shark of Cornell and Deal? Have you smoked any other stuff before?
Well, yeah. All the Frog Mortons, obviously. And I've smoked the shit ton of Frog Mortons. Well,
that's McClellan, is it not?
Is it? I thought that was CNN. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, shit, it is McClellan. Fuck. So, yeah, I've had, what? I got some right here, actually. It's one I've been stockpiling for a while now. Let me get this. This is an old tin of mine. Actually, that's not busted open too. Fuck. The Autumn Meeting I got, it's probably the most smoked thing I've got from them. I've had Briar Fox, Haunted
That shit Bookshop. Is awesome.
Yeah. What am I thinking? What was the other one? Autumn Meeting is the one I smoked a lot of because when everybody comes over, they love to smell that tobacco. They love the aroma of that tobacco. So I know if I smoke that, everybody's gonna be, you know, they love it. So,
but yeah,
honestly, not too much. I mean, you know, they make a lot of GLPs and stuff, which I've smoked a ton of that. So
they distribute it, but do they make it as well? I mean, we're both dummies, so we don't really know. I'm just asking because
I think. GLP blends it to what he wants, and that they, you know, when he gets the blend, they get the recipe and make it and tin it and all that and so on.
So they're basically, for the cigar people watching out there, let's pretend we're crowned heads. Cornell and Deal is my father.
That's the way I understand it, yes.
Yeah, okay. Cornell and Deal is my father. John Huber is GLP's. Crowned heads. There's your analogy, cigar related. So I've actually smoked quite a bit of their stuff because one of the first guests we had on other than Drew Estate, who we already had a relationship with, was Jonathan Turner from Laudacy, which is kind of the, I guess you call it the parent organization of Cornell and Deal, but they also own Smoking Pipes. So they're all kind of just one big happy family.
Right.
Which I didn't know that until I got a package from the same address in which Jonathan had sent me samples, and it kind of all kind of clicked together. But yeah, so I've actually smoked quite a bit of their stuff. I've smoked the Nothing from Cigar Federation, sent me some Briar Fox from like 2013, and shit titties. That shit was good. Like I could smoke that all day, every day. And I've got a ton of old, like Haunted Bookshop from like 2008. I've got a bunch of really old stuff, but I like it because a lot of it comes in bulk. And you can usually get it, you know, fairly cheap.
Right.
And it's just a lot of good blends. I will say, though, is that there's two blends that I've smoked from Cornell and Deal or Cornell and Deal that I have not really dug. One of them was Crooner. Do you know what Crooner is? Have you smoked that?
No, I know what it is, but I haven't had it.
That shit is weird. For those that don't know, Crooner is basically, was it Bing Crosby?
Yeah, I believe it was Bing Crosby.
Yeah, Bing Crosby was smoking a pipe, or smoked a pipe. It's like Frank Sinatra's boy, right? Bing Crosby. Well, he basically smoked a blend that had, it was burly, but it had some kind of thing called deer tongue. which it's some kind of like herbal weed. It's not like pot, but like some kind of thing. It tastes fucking strange. Like, oh, dude. It has a kind of a weird, it has a flavoring on it. It's like a kind of an alcohol liquor. But the deer tongue, like, I just don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like kind of bitter. Like a bitter, kind of like green herb kind of taste. I don't know. Yeah. It's fucking strange. But I did not really dig that. And then the other one that I really didn't dig, and I really thought I was going to, being like primarily a cigar smoker, was Billy Budd, which is an American blend that actually uses, I believe it's Maduro cigar leaf in the blend. And I thought I was just going to tear this shit apart. It uses Burley cigar leaf, Latika, and some Virginias. And I really thought I was going to like love the shit. And honestly, fucking not good.
I don't think I've had a bowl of it a long time ago, but I don't remember. Like, I had a lot of the C&D blends that I've smoked for about a decade ago. I mean, so it was a lot of the older blends. So that's why I'm trying to remember what I've had, because I haven't really smoked a lot of it lately. I just bought some more, was it Bayou Morning?
Yep.
I literally got that in today. I bought some of that, some bulk of that. I was trying to go back and see some of the other stuff that I've had before. I want to try Oak Alley. I haven't tried that one yet. Old Joe Krantz, that's another one I've been wanting to try that I haven't tried yet.
Got it.
Yeah, figures.
Dude, I got everything. I just don't smoke it.
I was trying to remember what else I've had. Morty's Best, I think I've had that one.
Yep.
Now that I think about it, Pennington Gap, I had that. It was pretty, I liked that a lot.
That was an aromatic, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's an aromatic. I had that a long time ago. That's probably about it. Honestly, I haven't had a whole lot of, and there's no reason. It's not that I have anything against them or, you know, I don't like their blends. It's just, I just honestly haven't smoked them as much.
Yeah, I mean, I've smoked quite a bit. I mean, you know, it's good stuff. I don't know if you remember if you had Pirate Cake.
No, I haven't had it, but I want to try it.
It's really, really good. Really, really good. So, yeah, so, I mean, they're pretty diverse, right? Like, I mean, I think what's interesting about Coronel Deal is a lot of, you know, people who make pipe tobacco. Like, GOP is like 99%, I feel like, of what he does is all English and Balkan blends, and that's kind of his wheelhouse. I mean, Coronel Deal is all over the place. I mean, it's right. Aromatic, Orientals, Burley. They do use a lot of Burley, I will say, but I mean, their blends are very, very inexpensive and kind of range the whole gamut. So, you know, and plus they're just good people. So, Bull Shark, let's take a step back from pipe tobacco for a little bit. Now, what's been going on, man?
Not much, man. With my just trying to keep my head above water. This 6-year-old I got, along with, you know, my wife's working out of town, so we've been trying to go visit her over in Texas. You're neck of the woods, kind of.
Yeah, about 2 hours south.
Yeah. It's that's kind of a pain in the ass drive, you know, but you got to do what you got to do.
So you go up and pick her up every weekend, then drive her home? So you're in the car like no. 3 times a week? Oh, okay.
Fuck, no, I'm not that stupid. No,
if you loved your wife, you'd do it.
No,
this is Bull Shark. Your husband loves you.
He did. Go over there and hang out. I mean, like, she has to, she's in the Navy, so Naval Reserves. She still is in the Navy? Yeah, she's got about another, I think, 6 years until she retires.
Mm.
So, because she actually has 12 years in the Air Guard, but now she's an officer. She has to spend so much time in grade, you know.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, so I think she has to serve actually like 23 years or something like that to get the retirement part of it. So, she has to come back home once a weekend to do drill, and on one of the other weekends we go over there and visit her. So a lot of driving, but then when it means that I'm doing basically the single parent stuff here at home, so everything, my sister, all these little, you know, he's in the advanced reading program, and they do a special thing early in the morning, and then he's in some kind of reading fair. I got it all this week and next week, and now he started soccer tonight. It's I'm blowing balls out nonstop, man.
Dude, that's crazy. So when is she gonna roll back home, or is this like a kind of a permanent thing for at least for the short term?
No, it's just the assignment. She's doing travel nursing, so it's 13 week assignments. But basically, she's just trying to she's gonna do it for a while because the money's really good, until she wants to work at the Veterans Administration hospitals because she's in the Navy. She basically can get like some basically double retirement points if she goes work at the VA. You know, plus with her being have her master's degree, plus being in the Navy, that's extra points she has that she when she gets selected through the HR group in Washington D.C. So, mm-hmm. where she's just kind of waiting for that position to open up, and then she'll probably come back home. But she just applied for a position that closed today, so we'll see what happens. So maybe she might be back by January, and this will all be over. That'd be good. That'd hopefully, be cool. Yeah, definitely.
Would she respond to Mrs. Bullshark?
I don't even know if she knows that name yet.
She should, man. She should be calling you that in the middle of your lovemaking. Start calling you the Bullshark.
Well, considering she's in Texas and I'm in Mississippi, that's rare.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah. But you get to at least see her on the weekends, or is it like an every 2 week thing?
Yeah, like every 2 week. But then when I go over there, I got my mom and my son with me the whole
time.
That's
true. Yeah. So how's that car ride with your son? Taxi.
Talks a lot. Oh my God, does that boy talk, man? It's crazy.
And what is he, two and a, no, he's like six, right?
He's six, yeah. So I got him like he has a PS Vita game system and he has a Nintendo 2DS and he plays that the whole time with them, but he plays the games. He's also acting out the games.
Oh, like he
makes his own noises while he's playing. So there's no reprieve at all, ever.
There's no silence.
No.
That's so, freaking hilarious.
You know, and my mom sometimes, she's Captain Obvious, so that doesn't help out much either.
You know, it's funny. My mom, I think every mom is Captain Obvious. And speaking of, my mom's coming down. My mom and my dad will be here this weekend, so I haven't seen them in a while. So it's interesting because I'm kind of like really excited to see them because I don't get to see them that much. But then right. I'm kind of like dreading it because I'm kind of like, fuck. I'm going to have to listen to my dad's asinine jokes and my mom's bullshit all weekend.
Yeah. I understand that, dude.
But you're like the good son. You have your mom like live with you and everything. It's I couldn't do it. There's no way I could do it.
Well, it's a good thing she lives with me now because, you know, with Kate being away, you know, she does help out when she can with Aiden. So my
right,
son.
Exactly.
So it helps out a lot, you know. I literally cannot even be doing this right now if she wasn't here.
It's true. What time did your son go to bed?
Around 8:30.
Oh, yeah. There's no way. And you're still Central, right?
Yeah, I'm Central. Yeah.
It always confuses me. I didn't realize that Alabama was still – a lot of it was still Central.
All of it Central.
Like Tuscaloosa. So I had no clue. I thought it was all Eastern.
No, it's – that's no. I think it's the Georgia-Alabama border. That's when Eastern takes over.
Oh, okay. So what do you think about that bourbon blue?
I don't know.
That's not good.
I'm kind of, well, I mean, it has kind of a little bit of a strange flavor to it.
Like what?
It's almost got that grassy hay flavor from the Virginias. It has a little bit of sweetness from the Greek. But then there's kind of like this astringent quality to it. And maybe it's from the bourbon topping, but
could be.
It has kind of a little bit of a weird flavor. Like, it's hard to describe.
Is it like medicinal?
No, it's just like a really sharp flavor. It's almost what kind of reminds me of like of a citrus sharpness, you know, like that grapefruit right. sharpness.
Yeah.
Something like that. But it doesn't have a citrus flavor, but just talking about like that mouthfeel, you know, sharpness, acidity you get from like a grapefruit or something. It's kind of like that.
I'm going to try to smoke that next. That's the other good thing about this little small Dunhill is I've pretty much almost worked my way through a bowl here and I can move on to something else. And right. I like it. I did look up. I asked a guy that I know. He's been on the show before. Old Soy Milk is Good off of our pipe tobacco. And he said the pipe was worth about $150, $175. So I felt pretty good about it. But he said the number two bowl in this size is actually fairly rare. They didn't make a lot of the smaller bowls back in the day. So
cool.
Who knows? But you know, with the Star of the East, like, you know, it's okay. Like, it's kind of, it's one of those, if I was going to give it a rating, like, on Cigar Federation, you know, it's probably a 3-star, where, you know, I would definitely, you know, if I had some, I would smoke it. I wouldn't necessarily see myself going and seeking it out and really trying to run it down. Like, you know, it, I hate to even make this comparison, but it's almost, and I don't know if you've ever smoked, I know I've sent you some, but the F&K Lancer slices.
No, I haven't had it yet.
No, man, that shit is the tits. And it's kind of similar to that, but like, it's, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the Orientals. I don't know what it is, but it's got like, there's just kind of a twang to it. Like almost like a coffee ground kind of like bitterness. Like yeah. It's kind of strange. And it's not, the sweetness is definitely, like I love like the Latakia, like the smokiness, but I also like kind of a sweet to it as well with the Virginias. And it's not just really coming through. Like the Virginias are definitely just getting completely ass pounded right now by the Latica. And I just don't, I don't really like that. And, you know, it's just, and it's a very heavy blend too. It's not, it's very kind of like on the finish, like almost kind of like, you know what I mean? So not my, definitely not my favorite. Definitely not my favorite.
Yeah, this one's got like a tanginess to it. I mean, you know, this is going to sound really, really weird, but you know what? It almost has this weird, kind of like a tangy barbecue sauce.
Like a Carolina tangy barbecue sauce? Like uses mustard or something?
No, more like, the, you know, the Kansas City style.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm going to smoke it here in a second. Speaking of, not that I'm a Kansas City Royals fan, even though I grew up on a, in a small town about an hour south of Kansas City. Can you believe the Royals won the World Series?
I'm so happy about that, actually.
Dude, I'm shocked.
I had a cousin that played for him back in the late 70s, early 80s. It wasn't. I honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I never met him because he was so much older than I am. When I was a little kid, my uncle gave me this duffel bag, and it had KC Royals on the side of it. It was a team bag, and I'm like, well, I said, you know, my uncle, that's where I came from. He says, oh, that was your cousin's. He played for the Royals. I said, oh, okay. I don't remember what his name was. I never met him, but I had his little bag. I don't know where that's at either. It's got to be somewhere around here somewhere, but it's just one of those old, you know, old early 80s blue duffel bags, you know?
Yep. Oh, yeah. But, well, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, it's so funny, like, the Royals. I mean, everyone's like pro-Royals, man, but, like, I grew up – I'm not that old. I'm only 32, but when I was growing up, like, the Royals, 85, George Brett, obviously. Brett retired. George Brett retired in 93. But I remember the years from, like, the early 90s – through like about 2006, when the Royals were fucking horrible. My high school baseball team could have beat them. Mm-hmm. Like they were losing 100 games a goddamn season. Like they did, like when the ESPN, like when the Sports Illustrated would come out saying, okay, you know, predictions for the season, like Royals were dead last in the AL Central. Like no one even gave them the time of fucking day.
Right.
And the fact for they, because it was ran by David Glass, who used to work at Walmart, and basically ran it like a fucking Walmart, like cut all expendable costs out of this fucking bitch. But the fact they've came back to where they're at is fucking crazy to me, because I was one of those franchises just like is perpetually going to be bad.
Yeah, they had a thing on ESPN where they said that they were the last, like three or four years ago, they were like last in money spent on the payroll for the players.
Oh yeah,
and they jumped up within 2 years to the number 16 now.
Oh, I know, because they got because it's a completely different strategy. You got to, I mean, if you can keep costs down and do big things, then more power to you. But typically, the rule of thumb, if you want to get stuff done, you're gonna have to spend money on it.
Right, you got to at least spend something.
Exactly. At
least buy the pieces that you know you need. Don't overpay, you know, with Albert Pujols kind of thing, but. You know, they made smart buys. They basically did, you know, Billy Beanball.
You know. Dude, Moneyball, man. It's where it's at.
It works. It works.
It does work. It does work.
It worked for the Red Sox, and now it's worked for the Royals, you know.
Exactly. It's true. But you still got to spend some money. You're right. Not going to be able to, like, pay. What is the league minimum now? It used to be 200,000. What is it now, like 400?
Something like that. It's not. It's still not a lot of money.
Like, I'll tell you right now, if there's any major league team that needs a bullpen catcher, I would gladly come and be the bullpen catcher for any major league team and get paid $400,000 a year.
For real.
No problem.
Dude, did you see the crowd today?
Oh, at the where was it in Kansas City?
I can't remember.
Union Station.
Yeah, yeah,
dude. It was like a sea of blue.
Yeah, they said I saw the picture. And I was like, holy shit! They said it was 250,000. There's no way. There was way more than 250,000 people.
You know what I mean? That's crazy. You know what the fucked up thing is? Kansas City proper, like the actual Kansas City, like the city limits, is only like 800,000 people.
Wow.
Or at least it was last time I was there 10 years ago. But dude, you got to realize, like, Kansas City sports teams haven't been good in so long. Like, the Royals haven't been good since, like, 85. Like, the Chiefs haven't been to a Super Bowl since fucking Lynn Dawson back in, like, the 60s.
Yeah.
And we haven't been to when we lost to the Oilers or whatever it was in the late 80s when what was his name? It was Lynn Elliott. Some Elliott guy. He was a kicker. He missed, like, 3 field goals. We lost 9-6 in the AFC championship game. But since then, we've sucked. We haven't had good teams. It's not like St. Louis where, like, every year the Cardinals will be, like, first or second, and then all of a sudden they just make the playoffs. It's not like that in Kansas City. So, good job, Royals.
Yeah, I was happy to see that. I mean, plus I just hate the Mets because they're in the team with the division with the Braves. Which, speaking of which, Ned Yost, where did he come from?
He was the Braves, wasn't he?
Exactly.
Wasn't he – he was a catcher, right?
I think so.
I thought he was a catcher for the Braves. In the day.
Yeah, he was Bobby Cox's right-hand man for so many years. Man.
That's right, he was, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, so when he left, I was like, I think that might be a bad mistake letting him go off somewhere else. But at the time, Bobby Cox was still around. So, yeah, we got Freddie Gonzalez now, who I think is an outstanding coach too. So he just doesn't have the backing from, you know, the Braves management like he should.
Right. Dude, I can totally – I'm about to light up a bowl of this bourbon blue.
Yeah.
Dude, I can totally smell the liquor on it.
Yeah.
It almost smells like grass, like a grassy kind of liquor.
Yeah. Some corn liquor.
Kind of. Like, almost like, you know, I grew up on a farm, but almost like wet cut hay.
Yeah.
Where it's kind of got that pungent kind of – that pungent kind of smell to it. Smells really good. See, yeah,
it's something else. It's just got that weird tanginess to it. It's kind of weird to me.
Is it burning hot?
Yeah, it's a little hot. Be careful with it. Yeah, kind of go slow with it.
Okay. So, how's our buddy old Hewitt doing? I haven't seen him in since we got back from Europe. How's he doing?
I guess he's doing all right.
A pain in the ass.
Yeah, besides being a drunk, he's all right.
Other than being a fucking closet. No, he ain't even a closet drunk. He's just out and about with it.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to meet his wife just to see the woman that tolerates his bullshit.
Oh, man. She's so much
cooler. Is she cool?
Oh, yeah. She's so much cooler than Hewitt is.
Oh, really?
Well, so most people are, but I mean, she's really cool. I like her.
That's so funny. Did you ever make that big purchase that you were talking about the other day?
Well, no, I didn't end up buying all that tobacco that I wanted because that coupon you gave me, the 20% off, which I was really, you know, counting on, expired before I actually bought anything.
Oh, dude.
So that cost me like a lot of money. I was like, fuck, man.
Didn't pull it?
No, because what I did was I went ahead and Smoking Cigars had an amazing sale on Dunhill tobaccos. So,
what'd you buy?
I bought, what did I buy? Aperitif. I bought the Deluxe Navy Rolls.
I heard of those.
I haven't had them, never had them before. I bought stuff I've never had. I bought another tin of Baby Bottom. Mm-hmm. I bought a What else did I buy? Damn it. Oh, it was a Durbar. I bought that one. And what was the fifth one? Oh, London Mixture. I've never had none of those. Yeah. And I've heard a lot of good things about London Mixture, so I really want to try that one. Baby's Bottom, too, since that's been out. People have been raving about Baby's Bottom.
It's good. I mean, I got a few tins. You know, that's what I always do. It's kind of like with cigars. I've kind of realized that, a limited edition cigar comes out. Well, unless it's something that's, like, crazy that's going to be gone, like, instantly, like a Ratzilla's or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then I know that I probably don't need to buy shit like instantaneously. But with pipe tobacco, if a limited edition comes out, like about the Squadron Leader with Perique in May,
right?
Baby's Bottom a couple months later, like when it came out, like I was like, oh shit, and bought like five tins because I didn't know. I had no idea. Like, is it going to be gone in an hour? I have no frame of reference. But they still got it. But I've smoked probably half a tin of it, and it is fucking awesome. For only having Virginias and Latika in it, it's like so complex. It's crazy to me. It's like almost like the less is more kind of theory, right? Like, yeah, I don't know how they do it.
That's one thing about Dunhills. I've yet to have a Dunhill I didn't like. Literally, no. I mean, I've only had half their catalog, but I mean, literally, if I had to pick, like, you know, a dedicated blend, it's probably going to be, it would be a Dunhill, my friend.
Really? Nightcap's freaking amazing, and I love my mixture. I mean, even though early morning pipe, it's not – I wouldn't say it's not good because it's definitely a good pipe tobacco. It's just not in my wheelhouse.
Oh, man, I freaking love it. Love it, love it, love it, dude. I've smoked more – I probably have smoked more early morning pipe than any other tobacco I got, even over Hades Delight from GLPs, which is like
– Really? Which that's like your go-to thing.
Exactly. Yeah, I had a bowl this morning, matter of fact, of Hades Delight. I have a pipe dedicated to just that blend.
Yeah. That's what you know when you're serious about something, where you have a pipe that is dedicated to one singular blend.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, I don't know what I think about this bourbon blue here.
It's like this – it's, you know what keeps popping in my head? It's like the time that I had with Tatuaje's La Casita Criolla. Everybody's like, oh, this is the best cigar. It's called here. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
No.
And I'm like – and I'm smoking, I'm like – I don't see it. There was a flavor in that cigar that I was like, I don't like it. My palate's saying you don't like it. This, put this cigar away. You don't like this. And I never could pinpoint exactly what the flavor was, but there was just one thing in that blend that my palate said nope. And maybe it was because I like you know, Pennsylvania broadleaf, but maybe not that damn much. You know,
right.
Or Connecticut broadleaf, I don't like it that much. But I must have – I smoked like 13 of them, and I'm like, what am I missing? I felt like maybe I've lost my
touch. You smoked
like
half a box?
But yeah. And I'm like – man, it was because of Hewitt. Brian Hewitt raved about the cigar. I think it was his cigar the year it came out. He just loved it, loved it, loved it. So I'm like, okay, I must be missing something. There's something wrong. Maybe, you know, I ate something bad that day that didn't, you know, it was on my palate that messed the cigar flavor up, or I drank something I shouldn't have. So I kept trying it different times. And I'm like, I just don't get it. I just don't get it. But like I said, it was something odd in the flavor profile of it that my palate just said no. And it's almost like that's the same as with this. If there's something in it that my palate's like going, I don't know about that flavor, but I can't tell you exactly what it is. It's just one of those things.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely has that kind of astringent. I'm totally getting that. And it is sharp. Like, it's almost hard to even taste the tobacco, to be honest. At least I think. I mean, it's just, ugh.
Yeah, it's like it's – I mean, I get that grassy hay flavor. And I'm getting this, it's a little sweet, but then there's that tanginess to it that it's, I mean, saying off-putting sounds worse than it is. It's not off-putting, but it's kind of like weird. It's just like my palate going, I don't know about this one, you know? But
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, I'm definitely, I don't know about you, but it uses Perique, and I'm not tasting any Perique whatsoever.
No, I get like, you know, Perique is sweet. So and I get a little bit of sweetness. I'm thinking that's the Perique, but I don't taste that.
I thought Perique was supposed to be spicy.
It is spicy. It's spicy with a little bit of sweetness to it, but I don't get none of that. I don't get the spice. I don't get a little bit of sweetness, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm getting sweetness, and I don't know if that's Virginia's or what that is, but it's definitely sweet, but
I think it's a little bit of the Perique and maybe a little bit of that bourbon, you know, because bourbon has that sweetness to it, the natural sugars on it, but
yeah, and it's burning hot. Hot as fuck.
And I mean, I get that. I get a little bit of vanilla from the bourbon. Yeah. Like, I didn't get it when I first lit the bowl up, but just now when I took that big drag of smoke, I tasted the vanilla, which is what I would expect to be in this.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of get that a little bit too. I mean, it's just very, it's like a sweet kind of sharpness. Almost like, I mean, the liquor I would almost compare it to like, I mean, I know they say bourbon, but it's almost like an amaretto. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Maybe that's what it is, because I freaking hate amaretto. Oh, I hate it, dude.
Really?
Yeah, with a passion.
I'm not a big drinker, but back in the day when I did drink and Chuck Murphy was around back in high school, oh, fuck shit. That was like one of the liquors. That was before like the days when you were young and drinking where you couldn't drink much hard liquor. But that was one thing that I could drink. And well, it would just fuck me up.
See, yeah, I had a kind of bad experience with it.
Well, that's why.
Yeah. One night we went to a friend of mine. He lived just off campus at Mississippi State. And he lived in some nice townhouses. But the townhouse where he was in had gotten some damage done to it by a tornado. I think it was a tornado or a bad thunderstorm. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, what they decided to do was that little section of townhouses, they were just going to tear it down and rebuild them or whatever because they couldn't really fix it. So he had to move out, basically, is what it was. So the last night he was, right before he moved out, the last night in there, we had like, you know, a pretty nice little get together there. And we made something called Bulldog Punch.
Bulldog Punch, okay.
Yeah, and it's basically just Everclear and a couple other things with some fruit punch, basically, is what it is. Anyway, but you know how when you get your drink on, right? And the worst thing that could happen is you run out of beer or you run out of liquor.
Oh, yeah.
Right when you're getting your buzz. So I'm like, God, man, I was kind of, you know, I was toasted. And I was like, man, this sucks, man. I can't believe we ran out of some. Let's go down to the store. Let's go get some more, blah, blah, blah. And all my friends are there. They're laughing their ass off because apparently I'm when I get drunk, I get funny, like ultra funny. So they're egging me on, basically. And one of my friends says, here, let me get you a cup. I'll get you some more Bulldog Punch. I'm like, how are you going to get more? Because we had this giant ice chest, 120-quart ice chest, so it was slap full of it. And we just used a spout at the bottom to fill up the cups. So I'm like, how? It's empty. It's completely empty. You know, I'm making this huge scene. And they're like, oh, it's okay. We'll go get you set up. Anyway, I had a big one of those big gulp cups. But it was from a place called Bulldog Deli. It just local like a
Quiznos kind
of
deal.
Something like that, yeah. But yeah, and it was one of their big gulp cups. It's got, you know, Mississippi State stuff all over or whatever. Anyway, they got that cup, and he comes back with this concoction of shit in it, right? And I'm toasted, so I don't even think about it. I'm thinking, that's my boy. Got me hooked up.
Got me some Bulldog Punch.
Yeah. So I start drinking. I'm like, man, this is some weird tasting shit here. What is this, you know? And I'm drinking it. I drink like at least half the cup, right? So everything's starting to die down. We decided we're starving to death. I'm like, hey, fuck it. Let's go to the Kroger, go get some steaks. We'll grill them out at my place. Let's
go get the Kroger and get some steaks. Holy shit, all right.
So we're heading down the road. I'm like, fuck, let's go. I pull over. I got to get pissed real bad. I'm going to piss in my pants if we don't pull over somewhere. So they pull over, go in this little gas station, and I'm sitting there trying to take a piss, still holding my cup. I won't let my cup go. And I look at it, and there's all kinds of shit floating inside of it, right? And I'm like, what in the fuck is this, right? And I'm like, my buddies, he's next to me. It was like two of my buddies, they actually made this. I'm like, what the fuck is in this thing, right? You know? Mm-hmm. And they just start busting out laughing, dude. It was a majority of it. They found like a half a bottle of amaretto. Poured the whole thing in my cup.
Okay.
And then they put in some, I can't remember what flavor Kool-Aid it was, put a little bit of Kool-Aid in it. Then they stuck in, this is no lie, dude. I don't know if anybody in our viewers, you know what Tony Satcheries is? The seasoning?
No.
Okay. Tony Satcheries is hugely famous in our area. It's a Cajun seasoning blend. I mean, I tell you what, I saw it when we were in Belgium.
Really?
Swear to God. Yeah, it's got that, it's like the same global reach as like Tabasco sauce.
Okay.
It's probably from the same area. Anyway, it's from New Orleans. It's like a Cajun seasoning blend, you know.
Is it for steaks, I guess?
Yes. If for anything. Do you put it on anything? Put it in gumbo, jambalaya, etouffee, chicken, pork, steaks, what the fuck ever. It's, you can put it on anything. That shit was in the cup, along Ooh. With A1, high 67 sauce, mustard, anything that they could find, onion powder.
Ooh. I mean,
they went through the shelves of my buddy's house and just poured stuff in there. I mean, I even think there was some freaking like Thousand Island dressing in there or some shit.
Oh.
Yeah. Of course.
Did you figure it out? Did you throw up?
No. No. I threw it up later that morning, but when I threw it up, all I can remember is tasting was amaretto.
Oh, that'll do it, man.
Yeah. So yeah, it was the nastiest concoction ever, and I've never let them forget it, you know, and I always bring it up when I can. But yeah, so that's my amaretto story and why I do not drink it anymore. So
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
No.
So no amaretto. So when I mentioned something about amaretto, like when I'm doing cigar abuse, the one or two times I've ever come across that, because it's basically, it's just an almond liqueur is what it is.
Right.
But yeah, it's just not good, dude. And my wife cooks, she can make beautiful cakes. She used to do wedding cakes and all that, beautiful cakes. I mean, she made one time that was actual, the actual church. And you could actually look through the front of the cake, and inside, she had the bride and groom inside the cake, like at the altar. It's crazy, right?
Can I say that again?
She made a cake that was in the shape of a church.
Okay.
And when you look through the front of the cake, inside the cake, you can look in and see the bride and the groom standing up at
the
altar.
Is this for your wedding?
No, it's for somebody else's wedding. No.
Huh? Right.
But anyway, she used to have that almond flavoring, which is fucking strong.
Almond
dude.
Extract, dude.
Yeah. Rough. Oh my God.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
If I smell that, I feel like I want to puke. And that goes back to the amaretto. It's just terrible. Plus, it just stinks anyway. But so, like, when I get the amaretto on this, that's kind of what my palate's going, no,
please
don't
no.
Move. Stop. Yeah.
Well,
as I go back to relight it.
You know what's I got this pipe right here. It's I've been seeing a lot about Briarworks lately. Like, I feel like they didn't exist.
Me too.
Where have you been seeing them? Is it because of the contest, or where have you been seeing them?
No, actually, I heard a little bit on some of the Facebook pipe groups. And then when we were at an Intertobac, you know, whenever Pete Johnson was talking to us about Briarworks, so you can go check that out.
That's right.
That's really awesome.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what I'm like, okay, well, I need to go check these guys out. But
we did not. We sat there and spoke with Pete all day, which I got to say, man, yeah, I know this isn't nobody cares because this is a pipe show, but I don't know Pete that well. But I've got to say, Intertobac was worth it purely because at IPCPR, I would get about an all of 5 minutes with Pete Johnson to do an interview.
Yeah.
Sat there, we literally – and it wasn't like set down, walk away. We literally sat and talked to Pete for, what, 4 hours? Smoked two cigars. It was awesome.
Smoked all kinds of rum and, you know.
Told us some crazy stories.
Oh, but hey, dude – he literally is probably one of the best storytellers I've ever met.
He was pretty good. I think I'm pretty good, but he was really good.
Oh. We were down at Cigar Safari at one time. It was actually, I think it might be the second time we were down there. And he came by and visited us one night. And Brian Hewitt had brought down a bottle of Four Roses Single Barrel. Dude, we got toe up from the flow up on that day. He didn't leave until 4:30 that morning, dude.
Really?
We were toasted. Yeah, we were toasted, dude. But, like, for 7 hours, we sat there drinking all kinds of rare beers different bourbons and stuff, and he really loved the Four Roses. But man, that night he told some stories, dude. That when I woke up the next morning, my sides were just sore as hell from laughing so hard. Oh my god, dude. He could tell some stories.
He's been like, it's crazy, but he's really not that old of a guy. And he has been, I mean, fucking everywhere.
His rock band and everything.
Here's a question. This is a stupid question, unrelated to cigars. But I know Matt Booth was also in a rock band. But what the I've tried to Google it. What band was he in?
I have no clue, dude.
I thought the band would be named Room 101 or something. But, like, I know he was in a band of some sort, right?
Yeah. I mean,
he was famous before.
Oh, no. Knowing Matt Booth would be some kind of weird, crazy punk name, like Anal Bleeding or something like that.
Yeah, like Anal Punishing or something.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite interviews I've ever done at IPCPR because he's just such a strange dude. And everyone else, I feel like, that ever interviews him gets, like, thrown off by his weirdness. Yeah. I don't. I just give it right back.
Oh, yeah. He's a trip, dude. He's another cool cat, too. Like, he's been in our shop down here, and we stayed up again late one night drinking. And when he drank so much that night, it was unbelievable. And it was so funny because as he got drunker, he started talking like Borat. And as he started drinking more and more, it got worse and worse and worse. It was
like Borat?
Borat, yeah.
No shit.
It was so – we got video.
I think we've got video. We've got documented proof. So, dude, I wasn't here the other week, but apparently you like the Balkan – or the Balkan Sobrani, eh?
That's the shit.
Really?
I love it a lot. Yeah, 5-star.
5-star. It's funny that you say that. Like, I like it too, but a lot of people, you know, and I have no frame of reference from where it was in the 70s or the 60s.
I don't either.
I have no frame of reference, but still good. Still good tobacco. It's hard to find.
I was actually was telling Jared that night too on the Bookings. See, it's I've heard it that one two different ways. Bookings Sobrani, which I've heard more often, and Balkan Sobrani. So I just say
I've heard it both ways too.
I just say that one because there's a really good pipe shop in Jackson, Mississippi, north of me. That's it's in my capital, but it's called the Country Squire, and they have a podcast. It's a really good podcast too. I didn't even know they did it, right? And one episode they did a whole episode on that, and they were like, and they said Balkan Sobrani, and it's rare up there too. Like, they don't hardly ever get it. As soon as they get it, it basically doesn't even hit the shelves on that minute. So I was kind of excited whenever we did the show on that. But I've been trying to find more tins of that, and it's sold out everywhere. And I found it at one place, they had worn like $30 for the tin. And I'm not doing that. That's like people charging like $45 for an Opus X or something. You can kiss my ass. I'm not doing that. I'm not falling for that.
It's so funny that, like, with Balkan Sobrani and then as well as, like, some of the Esoterica stuff, like Stonehaven or Penance or whatever, and people, like, I go to the trade show. I mean, I've looked at price sheets, and some people fucking charge, like, $30 a tin for that. Like, pipes and cigars, like, charge, like, $30 a tin. Dude, other places charge, like, $12 a tin.
Yeah.
And I can't believe people let them get away with it. Like, I picked up an 8-ounce, well, actually, it was technically 4, 8-ounce bag of Esoterica Pizzanz in the shop I was at recently. You saw the picture. I got it cheaper in a fucking brick and mortar in Massachusetts with absurdly high tax than I could from smoking or pipes and cigars in Pennsylvania with no OPT or OTP tax. It's crazy.
I know.
It's absurd how people let them get away with that.
Yeah, dude. I'm going to start stockpiling the Balkan Sobrani. I mean, no doubt. And one place has got it right now, and I'm kind of even scared to say where it's at, honestly, until I buy my 10. I can only buy one.
Was it Mars Cigars?
Huh? No.
That's where I got 2 from there, and they still had it in stock a couple days later, and I went back and bought 2 more. So I think I've got a total of 6.
Let's see if they still have it. That would be phenomenal.
Did you already buy it?
No, I haven't checked out yet. Limit 2. Oh, you know what? I think this is one of the places I was looking at, but I think they were sold out. Yeah, out of stock.
Mars Cigars, yeah.
Yeah.
After IPCPR, I saw where I was able to figure out what had it in stock. If you just go to, on Reddit, go to Pipe Tobacco, or Our Pipe Tobacco, and right up for like about 2 weeks after the show ended, for about a month and a half, if you just trolled that sub on Reddit and looked at the new post, you could figure out pretty quickly who had Stonehaven and all that. And it was basically they released it right after the show, and then however quickly they listed online.
Yeah, I literally have not had Stonehaven in probably 7 years.
I got some of that too. I got everything, dog.
Dude, I literally have not seen it to buy.
Seriously? I had someone send me, it wasn't a lot. We traded some stuff, and I think he sent me maybe four flakes. So not a ton, but enough where you could rip a couple bowls out of it for sure.
Right, yeah.
Now, you just need to send me your wish list, Bull Shark, and then I can just make your Christmas dreams come true.
You better be aware of what you're saying. So.
All right, this is true. But anything for the Bull Shark is all I got to say.
I've got... Let me see what I've got here. Oh, if I can reach it without tumping everything over, which I think I'm going to do anyway. Don't fall, please. Old bag.
Yeah.
It's not gold. It's not gold. It's actually in the old. What is that? Mint color? I don't know what the fuck color that is.
See that?
I don't even know how this. I think I bought this.
What is that?
Penzance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a different bag almost.
Exactly.
This is definitely old. A different front, too.
Old. Old. At the minimum, this is 10 years old. 10 years old. I think 2001.
Is that when you bought that?
Yeah. Not open, unopened.
Jesus. You talk about me having a lot of pipe tobacco. You've just got a bunch of really old shit.
I just sit on shit. That's my thing. But I don't have a lot. You have a lot of it. I have a lot of old shit.
I've just got a shit ton of mason jars. I've cornered the market on mason jars.
That's what I got to figure out is storage. I mean, I had to go to Target and bought a shit ton of little mason jar for all the pipe tobacco that you sent us that we're going to do on the show.
I know.
I'm like, where the fuck am I going to put all these mason jars at, you know?
Dude, the best thing you can do is just go to Target.com, and I've looked everywhere. Other than you maybe going to Walmart and picking them up, which they don't always have a lot in stock. But Target.com, they ship for free, and you can get a tray of 12, either 8 ounces or 4 ounces for like about $8. Just spend $40 and, you know, get, and they're 12 jars, you know, get like 60, you know, 72 jars, and then you're set. And then all I've done is just recycle them, wash them. What I'll do is I'll put them in a little bleach bath and run them through the dishwasher and then let them dry out real good and then haven't had an issue. Now, granted, I might be saying that 4 years down the road when I got fucking mold and all types of crazy shit in it, but so far it's been all right.
No, that won't happen. I mean, like I said, this is from, you know, 2006, and there's, you know, no problems. So, because they work well. The problem is finding mason jars. They don't have a lot of etching or embossing or whatever on it. Like this one has this freaking
fruit. Get the quilted. Can you see that?
Yeah, but the label stick to that shit?
Yeah, it's got a cart. You see that? Can you kind of see that right there? So it's got a perfectly flat surface for the label that fits like just like this.
It fits perfect. Yeah, I saw those.
The quilted is the only way to go. The other ones, you've got the ball and the stickers all fucked up. Drives me fucking bananas.
Yeah, actually, Jared had some called from Kerr.
Yeah.
K-R-R. And I bought some of those this weekend. And they have Kerr etched on them like the ball does, but the whole rest of it's smooth. So it's perfect. But I only could find one tray of 12.
Let me see. Let me just go to Target and I'll just look up the link here. So we're kind of rounding out the night here, Bull Shark. Give me your final impressions on the Cornell and Deal Bourbon Blue.
Well, it's not bad. It's not great, but it's not bad. Like, I would smoke it again.
You would?
Yeah, because I think I need to give it another. Like, I'm going to try to smoke it on maybe a corn cob or something different to see if that doesn't change it. But it's a little bit too weird for me. Like, you know, where the fuck did I put it? I got, you know, you sent me the little baggie right here of that much. I probably smoked that. I don't know if I'd get a 10 of it. Probably wouldn't buy another 10 unless I, you know, hit a pipe that's like, ooh, this turned out pretty good. But to me, it's just so weird to my palate that I don't think I would probably smoke it too much off more often. I mean, it's because there's so much tobacco blends out there, you know, even just in the C&D blends, you know, that a lot of them I haven't even tried yet. Like I said, I didn't realize now that I had such a massive hole in my pipe tobacco, you know, group that I've got here that I have really almost no C&D stuff at all, except for Autumn Evening. So I need to go and revisit a lot of their blends, but this one right here to me is like, I'd rather pass on it and get something else.
I think I'm with you. I'm with you too. I mean, I think I would smoke it again, but it'd be one of those things where, you know, if I was going to smoke a pipe and it, not for review, but for enjoyment, it definitely wouldn't be the first thing I reach for. But if we were out, you know, in the middle of Europe and I want to smoke a pipe and I had nothing else to smoke, then I would smoke it.
That's me too.
That's kind of where I'm at. And with Star of the East for an English blend, I mean, there's definitely a lot more that I prefer. It's definitely not bad. It's just the latka kind of dominated and I didn't get a lot of sweetness. It wasn't, you know, super complex, but it wasn't bad. I mean, I would definitely see myself reaching for that before I would the bourbon blue. And it had a nice little bit of strength too, which I kind of liked, but that's kind of my readout. So Bull Shark, next week we got, cause I'm back in action, no work traveling. I'm very interested for next week cause we're going to be smoking the Hearth and Home done by Russell Lett, or however you say his name, the White Knight, which is,
oh yeah, me too,
what he won the, I think it was the Chicago Pipe Show, I don't know if it was 2011 or 2012, I'm not really sure, 1 year, that's supposed to be basically very reminiscent to Balkan Sobrani from 1970.
Oh my God, I did not know that. Say. Wow. Yeah, I'm looking. I'm really forward. I'm kicking myself. That's another one that I'm kicking myself on about pipes and cigars. They had that that deal in October that I somehow never saw it. But it was, if you buy two Hearth at Home blends, you got a third one for free.
That's actually a hell of a deal because they don't really discount that shit very much at all.
Yeah, I missed it. I was so pissed off, dude.
You got to pull the trigger. And the thing is, Bull Shark, I've seen you pull the trigger on all types of shit.
I know. But, like, it's like I got overwhelmed on there. I'm like, oh, because they had that huge end of summer sale. And that's, I'm like, true, man, there's so much I want to get. Then I'm like, well, I don't want to spend that much money. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'll save this for next time. I'm like, okay, well, let me make sure that I got everything I want to get. And I just drag it out. And then I fucking miss out.
You just completely dropped the ball.
Yeah, I did. This is bad. A learning experience.
Let me see. They still got White Knight. I actually need to check it out because they've still got the end of summer sale going on. Yeah. Granted, it's not quite as cheap, but instead of it being $10 a tin for White Knight, you can get it for $7.49.
I know. That's the thing. The end of summer deal on that, because what was a Firestorm was another one that he did.
Yep.
That people are raving about. It's heavily discounted too. Those blends, Russ's blends on this in the summer sale, are way heavily discounted, a lot more than everything else.
Because
if you go look at them, some of them are only discounted like about $1, you know. But I mean, if you're buying like 12 tins, that adds up. But you know, but still, those are just kind of like $3 or $4 a pop. That's a
really deal. Well, and then all the Dunhill stuff's about $2.50 off too. So the Dunhill tins aren't a bad price either.
Yeah, because I want to buy some Dunhill Flake, which I've also never had.
It's on there, $7.99.
Yeah, when I was going to pull the trigger at smokingpipes.com, they had the, you know, for $5, they sold out of the Dunhill Flake like that quick. So I couldn't get it over there. So I'm gonna probably go ahead and end up buying this stuff I had stockpiled up in my cart anyway. Because I got, you know, because of the Hearth at Home and Firestorm and, you know, they know I want to try Trout Stream that people have been raving about lately too. I want to try that. They only have that there. So there's a couple of things that I could only get there, so I might as well just go ahead and get it anyway. It's, you know, and even though I missed out on the 20% coupon, but still. You know,
I couldn't believe that the 20% stacked on top of this page, to be honest.
Me neither.
I was shocked. And the other thing that's like crazy, that's crazy, crazy, crazy cheap is the Escudo. Normally that's like over $10 a tin.
That's some good stuff too.
And it's $8.75. That's a hell of a deal.
Yeah, I have 2 tins of that in here from 1999.
Jesus, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. And I think I might be my oldest one. That or let me see. I got, where is that? Here it is. Unopened standard mixture from October of 1999.
Damn.
I think that's my this and that Escudo, I think it's my oldest thing I got in here.
Good Lord, dude. Well, we were about to have a sweet ass tin of fucking Bengal slices.
Oh man.
But I totally dropped the ball on that one.
Dude, that would have been so epic because I've never had it. And I know how epic that stuff is supposed to be.
Oh dude. So. I wish I could have it because they say the Lancer slices are very comparable. And it'd be awesome to crack that tin open. And it wasn't even the $60 price. I don't even give a fuck about the money. It was just that, fuck, man. You had 2 tins. They sold out, like, instantly.
Yeah. Sucks. And, like, that Hearth at Home has that, was it a Fusilier's Ration?
Dude, Fusilier's Ration. That shit is horrible.
Really?
Dude, I smoked it, and I gave it all to Jared.
Wow.
I couldn't do it. First of all, it was really dry, so I had to rehydrate it. That's probably part of the problem. But, dude, yeah. The way the cake was put together, it was almost like if you take, like, a cake and you would have sliced it, but it was still, like, almost like a flake. It was very strange. But, like, it just did not taste good to me.
Wow, because that's supposed to be, I think, Russ's version of Lancer's.
Of Bengal slices. And I, that's what it tastes like, and I'm glad I didn't buy the tin.
Wow, okay. That's, well, okay, I won't try that one unless I get a good
one. No, you should try it. I mean, I by no means, I definitely trust my cigar palate much more than I trust my pipe tobacco palate. But it did not hit me right.
Yeah. I gotcha. I don't know. I'll try it. I'll try anything once.
Yeah, exact giggity. So, with that, Bull Shark, we'll wrap it up here. So,
how many stars would you give it?
Ooh, how many stars? Which one?
Well, you did 2. Do both. I'll do bourbon blue.
Okay, so let me get over here to the rating system because I always forget the pipe tobacco one, even though I actually invented both of them. So on the rating system, 5 stars means you stock up, purchase multiple ounces to smoke and age. 4 stars, keep in the rotation, purchase enough so you can smoke it and keep it in the rotation. 3 is when it's on sale. I wouldn't pay full retail, but I'd purchase if it was on sale. 2 stars, only when it's free. I'd only smoke it if it was free or had nothing else. And 1 is never again, even if it was given to me, I wouldn't smoke it. So I'll start with Star of the East. I think that'd be probably a 3-star for me. Definitely wouldn't pay full retail, even though it's not that expensive. If, you know, if they did like a flash sale or something, I could see myself picking up a couple of ounces to age. For sure. Now, the Bourbon Blue, on the other hand, frankly, probably be, hate to say this, but probably a 2-star. It didn't really do it for me. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of, I think, Fire Cured really anyways. And I believe it or not, I don't really like Perique all that much either. But I just, there's something that wasn't doing it for me. So it wasn't bad, but I just wouldn't see myself buying or spending my own money on it. Now, if somebody else had it and handed me a bullet, I'd smoke it for sure.
Yeah, I would give it probably a 2-star as well. And it kind of hurts me to do that, honestly, because, you know, it's
your people,
it's
man.
Yeah, I know. It's got a lot of Perique in it, which I love. It's got, you know, it's named after freaking Bourbon Street, you know, basically. It's got bourbon in it, which is my favorite alcoholic beverage. I mean, if you add it all up, It should be
the ideal Bull Shark pipe tobacco.
But it's not. It's 2-star.
It is just not.
There's something weird, man. And I think you nailed it. I think it's that dark fired Kentucky with that bourbon just doesn't mesh, man.
It just doesn't mesh.
I think that's what it is. I think if you took out that Dark Fire Kentucky, I think it might be spot on.
Probably a little bit better. I would agree. Or mix it in something else. Maybe Virginia.
Change it out with some Cavendish.
Cavendish or Burley or something. I don't know. It didn't really do it for me. But so yeah, I think we're about the same. Now let me ask you. I didn't get to ask you this last week. What's on the Sobrani? I'm guessing you gave it 5 stars.
Oh yeah. 5 stars.
Have you smoked anything else recently that we're not going to talk about in upcoming shows so you don't spoil it that is worth talking about?
Yeah, the Tsuge Samurai. I can't remember what's
Ujin, Gujin.
Something like that, dude. It's the Samurai blend from Tsuge, the not aromatic.
It's the God series.
Yes. Fucking tits, dude. And seriously. I loved it. Oh my God, yes. Yes. Huh. No, I do. I mean, every morning we have a staff meeting for work, and I dialed in. And I came out here. I was listening to the staff meeting. I was having that ball, and I was like, "Fuck me, this stuff is amazing." And I mean, maybe because I didn't think it'd be nothing real special, but I knew I just needed to pick a Virginia blend out of that bunch. So I knew. I looked it up on tobacco reviews, and I saw that was a Virginia blend. I'm like, okay, it was a vapor. Vapor, one of my favorites. So I put it in there, dude. And matter of fact, it was the same Ardor Blowfish that I have, the Yerbano.
Okay.
The pipe, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
You have one of those Tsuge Blowfishes?
No.
I thought you had one of the pipes.
No, this is Ardor.
Oh, okay. Got it. So is it? What's the color? Is it got the gold dragon, the weird looking angry dude, the guy with the arrows that's gold, or the other person?
I don't know, because it's little samples that I got from Grant Batson at IPCPR.
Oh, okay.
So
I gotta figure it out, because I got access to all that shit. We could do shows on that too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll figure it out. Oh, hey, son.
Yeah, that's a little, just aided my signature.
That's a little bull shark.
Little bull shark, yep.
Little bull shark. Well, with that being said, it looks like little bull shark's tired, so we'll wrap it up. So we appreciate everyone coming on, listening to us. Check us out on the podcast. Check us out on Cigar Federation. And next week, same time, same place, we'll be doing Hearth and Home White Knight. So with that, Ben, tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me at Stugger Review, doing all the cigar reviews, and I'm on Twitter at @cigar_Ben, and also the same on Instagram, @cigar_Ben.
And you can find me, Cigar Federation, pretty much everywhere, Smoking Logan. So everyone have a great week. Check you guys later, and have a good night.
See y'all next time.